Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." Today, we are defining the crowns that are mentioned in Scripture and looking at ways that we can receive them and how we can possibly lose them. So join in the conversation as we examine the crown of righteousness. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, and this is the place where believers will stand before Jesus face to face and give an account of how they lived their life here.
Yes.
Correct? And so this is separate from the great white throne where those who have rejected Christ will stand.
Absolutely. And Sharon, unfortunately, there are some teachings that say they're all going to happen at the same time. But if you do what the scripture tells us, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, mm-hmm. and you are a student of study, you'll see that those have to be two separate events with a different timeline because they definitely have different consequences.
Okay, so at the judgment seat, we will receive crowns and rewards based on how we live our life here. And you and I have been talking about the five different crowns that are specifically named in Scripture. And what we're bringing out is what these crowns are, how they're defined, how to obtain them, and how we can lose them or never obtain them at all.
Correct. Correct.
So we've looked at the incorruptible crown and the crown of rejoicing. And today we're going to look at the crown of righteousness. Now, this is a familiar crown by name. I think most of us have heard the crown of righteousness mentioned, but I'm not sure that we truly understand how to receive this crown and know that we can actually lose this crown. And Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy 4:8. In 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hereafter, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing."
Yes. Now, I know that you and I have both have a marriage where our husbands have been absent for periods of time. And what a joy it was that after 25 years of marriage, and I've got more under my belt now than that, I could still hear my husband's truck drive up in the driveway and get excited.
Yeah. You know, Terry and I have been married for almost 30 years, and I'm still like a little schoolgirl. My heart still skips a beat every day when he comes home from work.
All right. But for those that love his appearing, is because they have been faithful to what the Lord gave as an admonition in Revelations 2 and 3. And he said to the church at Ephesus, "You do everything right. Your performance is great. You guard, you watch, you scrutinize, but your heart has left me." Mm. And so the people who have the crown of righteousness will be those who have not walked away from their first love. They've kept that intensity of passion for a person, not for a system, not for a church building, not from their own perceptions and prejudice and opinions, but they are absolutely in love with a person. Not because of all the benefits that he gives, although we are grateful for all the benefits that he gives, but just because the Spirit has revealed to us the heart of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like you said, it's like a marriage that gets sweeter and sweeter. Our love relationship with the Lord should grow.
Oh, yes.
It should not diminish over time. And that's what had happened at Ephesus. They had gotten busy in the day-to-day life and not nurtured that love relationship with the Lord.
Yes,
correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And a love relationship will then embrace the cross. We won't say, oh, we don't want to know about the cross because it's too gory, it's too bloody. No, the cross is the preciousness of what gives us life. The cross is our hope because of the resurrection. Now, if Christ had never been raised from the dead, that cross would have just been another martyr.
Right.
But because he came out of the grave by the power of God, the cross is something that we don't cling to in its death, but we cling to it in its resurrected life and what goes on forever and ever. Do you realize that when we get to heaven and we see Jesus face to face, that in his glorified body, there will still be the nail prints? There will be an eternal remembrance of the work of the cross as the lamb that was sacrificed. But we will then be seeing the lion for all of eternity in his power and his glory, but never ever forgetting that love that made us to join up with him forever possible via the cross.
You brought out the three S's: sin, sins, and Satan. That the cross took care of my sin, and that is the old nature.
That had to be, and let's always say, that had to be crucified, that could not be forgiven.
Okay.
All right. Because that is one of the greater blindnesses that we are still living with, is putting our old nature and our sins lumped together. So continue on.
Well, then the sins is those actions and deeds that I have committed against God. And then Satan is not having the authority or power in my life. And we speak of those, we meaning Christians, we speak of those things in general ways. But understanding the depths of that, I think, is what has helped me better surrender my life and heart to the Lord, because in situations and circumstances that we all find ourselves in, it is easy to say, well, the Lord must be mad at me because I did this or I did that, or I made this wrong decision or this wrong choice. And when we understand all that the cross provided, we are less likely to take those things and continually beat ourselves up with it as though God is surprised by our actions, right?
Well, there are no surprises to the heart and the mind of God. He is the God of all circumstance and all comfort. The understanding the difference that more than one thing was happening on the cross all at the same time has really remained kind of a mystery, I think, to the teaching from, I would say, the modern day church, and that would be from probably the early 1900s up until today. Back in the 1800s, there were great revivals where these truths were commonly taught and exercised. And that was understanding that Satan can never be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. He must be made annul in his work. Now, God has given him what I call temporary squatting rights on planet Earth, because Adam yielded those to him. God gave Adam total control to rule the earth.
Right.
And when he chose to compromise that authority and sin started, he relinquished his God-given authority over to the enemy.
Okay.
And the Lord took it back on the cross.
Okay.
Now, he has not nullified that the enemy has no authority in a temporal setting as we see it displayed today. But we know the end of the story because God has declared it in his word. So if he has been defeated and we are in Christ who defeated him, then we do not have to succumb to the temptations that he puts out. And when he allows trials, we know that God says that he is in every trial, and he has given us his word that he can show us how to go through the trial.
And so that's where the scripture that he has given us a way of escape.
Yes. And that way of escape, we think about it as not having to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord says that he is going to be so sufficient that we can go through it as an overcomer, mm-hmm. and thereby escaping the damnation or the
right.
negative results from the trial.
We
grow through our mm-hmm. trials. We grow through our failures.
Right.
So there we have talked about Satan and how he cannot have a control over us because of the cross. Now, your old man can't be forgiven. Your old nature.
Right.
Satan
okay.
can't be forgiven. Your old nature can't be forgiven. But the fruit of how we have lived under that bondage can be forgiven. That is what we call our sins forgiven. We have been
okay.
redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Okay.
And so our sins can be forgiven because of God's mercy and Jesus Christ's work on the cross. But we a lot of times want to just assume that everything has been forgiven, and so now there's no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got Jesus and I'm going to heaven and I'm not going to hell, then I can pretty well just float if I just want to be a fun, happy creature, or if I want to go ahead and indulge my own fleshly ways. There's no consequences because I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Well, there is truth in that if you have genuinely accepted him, but you sure won't pick up any of the crowns.
Okay.
And some people are not interested in the crowns.
Oh, really?
Oh, a lot of people just say, hey, I don't need those crowns. I'll just be happy to be in heaven. What they don't realize is receiving the crowns is a tribute back to Jesus Christ and God the Almighty, who we never could have obtained them without them doing the work through us
uh-huh.
to receive the crown. And here's another word that's very seldom explained correctly. It takes the body, the corporate body, that makes up the whole body for Jesus Christ. So my little finger could probably be eliminated and we could still function. My heart can't be eliminated and we still function.
Right.
But to be the whole body, I need my little finger and I need my heart. And so when we look at us being molded into one body, I don't believe we're going to be nitpicking on how much we did as a little finger versus how much the lungs did or the heart did or something like that. We're
okay.
oneness. And if we really had that attitude now, Sharon, I don't believe we would be comparing ourselves with ourselves, amongst ourselves, and by ourselves,
mm-hmm.
for ourselves, yeah. which is not wise.
Right. So how do we obtain the crown of righteousness? And what are some ways that we lose that crown? And, you know, we've kind of talked a little bit about that, but...
Well, because we really look at the crown of righteousness as understanding the cross, I believe that's one of the criteria.
Okay.
There will be Christians who have lived their whole life, and yes, they'll have eternal security, and yes, they will have served, but they will not have really lived the fullness of the benefits of the cross. And that is one of the, I believe, prerequisites for really getting the crown of righteousness.
Okay.
The other prerequisite is that our love does not grow cold, because that's how we can suffer the loss.
And okay.
will we still have fullness of joy when we're with him face to face? But we're talking now about a loss of a crown. And I believe the church will be aware, because of the teaching that the scripture has given us in the completed scriptures, that we have a greater responsibility for understanding the work of the cross than maybe what saints did in the Old Testament.
Okay, right, right.
All right.
I gotcha.
One is a dramatic life that has been given to us in the example of Moses. Sharon, you know how faithful Moses was throughout
mm-hmm.
his life and the trials and the tribulations he went through as a man of God, and yet he was known as a friend of God. But as he came to the end of his life, there was a situation that arose that cost him not his salvation, but cost him the beauty of his final calling. And that's found in Psalms 106. And it says, "The people sinned, and it angered God, but it went ill with Moses." And I'm used to try to figure that out. But Moses was right in being disgusted with the people's sin. God was right that it angered him. But Moses did not follow through in the spirit and the commands that God had told him to do. He told him at one occasion when the people murmured and they wanted water that he was to strike the rock, and he did, which is an explanation of the cross, and water flowed out freely for all of the people and the livestock. And then there came another time when they were in the wilderness that they were murmuring again, "Why'd you ever bring us out of Egypt? We would have been better off to stay down there." And it angered God and it angered Moses. And so Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, showing the sufficiency of the life of Christ in supplying living water, Moses struck the rock again.
Okay.
And when he did, he acted in his own strength, in his own thinking. He acted really as a tool of the enemy. And the Lord let him look upon the promised land, but it cost him from entering the promised land. We need to be intently aware that we do not let our emotions, our comparing one another with one another, our responses, not exercising our love, cause a provoked spirit where the enemy gets a hold of it, and he will take us down the tubes with him, not costing you your salvation, but costing you some of the joys of the called that have the calling, that then sacrifice obtaining to obtain the crown at the end of the race.
Okay. That's a good example.
And then the other issue is, and as a prerequisite, is that we will not lose heart in well-doing, that our love can grow cold, and that will cause us to lose or not obtain the crown of righteousness.
Okay.
And that's probably a very timely comment to make, Sharon, because right now, in the times that we have been called to live sovereignly by God, if He has chosen that we were to be living in this year with everything that we have going on, then He says He has equipped us to know how to keep our first love passionate towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can allow the outside pressures, the unknowns that we're facing daily, to cause our heart's passion can be grateful, but then we tend to change our focus to the, oh, what ifs are going to happen. And the enemy can then allow us to creep into anxieties and that we thought we, and fears that we thought we no longer had, but it can cause us to compromise and let our hearts grow cold. And I believe that that is going to probably happen in the body of Christ, in our churches, in our denominations across this nation, because we have been given by many, certainly not all, we've been given a super sell on the softness of Christianity. So we have been sold from many pulpits how pleasure and comfort is the godliness that God has given to us as a prosperous nation.
Right.
And yes, He has given us blessings abundant, but that has caused our heart to grow cold because we can enjoy our prosperity, and so suffering for us today becomes as obnoxious as what the cross of Jesus Christ did back 2,000 years ago when we looked upon His body bloody hanging from there as He paid for our sins.
So for many of us, we live in the justification but don't move on to sanctification.
That's a one-liner you better repeat.
And so for many of us, we live in the justification but don't move on to sanctification.
And we're very relaxed with that, Sharon, because people use this little phrase, justification is just if I've never sinned. And the blood of Jesus Christ brings us into that perfection. But we can't stay there. We can't stay in the baby stages of Christianity. Otherwise, the scriptures would not have talked about sanctification. Sanctification is setting us apart for our calling. And in
okay, but Janie, what if I'm not called? So I think this is where we get all messed up as believers is, I'm not called to anything. I'm just a Christian going to church, living my life.
Okay, that's a lie. All right, so we don't understand the word called.
Right.
All right. You, no man can come unto the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father call him or draw him. If you're in the kingdom, you're called.
Amen.
There's no escaping. Now, what all may your calling involve in your practical application? It's going to have to do with the spiritual gifts you've been given, how you have yielded your heart to the Lord, how you have embraced all of the benefits of the cross. But if you're not going to hell, you're called.
Okay. Well, I just think that's a good thing to reiterate, because I've heard that so many times.
Because the enemy likes to give you an excuse so that you don't have to live up to your calling.
Right. And Satan is really good at taking the scripture and twisting it.
Well, it worked in
our own destruction.
It worked in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. People need to stop and realize, and this is going to be, I'm going to classify this as an opinion because I was not physically at the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
But I believe that Eve had heard such words of life as she worshiped with God, however he presented himself in the garden when it says he came and talked to them in the cool of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And she had heard his words and they ministered to her spirit because they were life. It was the words of God. And so when the new person showed up in the garden, I don't think he came slithering in as a snake or even standing upright as a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he had the appearance of the angel of light, as Satan had been created to be the most beautiful creature that God ever created.
Mm-hmm.
So you stop and think of the most beautiful person that you have ever been able to lay your eyes on. And then you hear the words of life coming from that creature that you've heard from the true living God. And
just twisted a little bit.
Yes, because mm-hmm. he quoted, but he put a hook in it.
Mm-hmm.
He put a hook in it. And it was so appealing to her soul that she bought it.
Yeah.
All right. So again, her eyes, her ears were open to deception. Then we have Hebrews 5:14 that says that the person who is mature in Christ has had their senses matured. So what were Eve's senses? What she saw, what she heard, what she tasted, what she felt. All right? What she smelled.
And we do the same thing.
And we do the same thing. Okay. We don't guard our senses. And if there's anything I'd like to see taught more in today's Christianity, it would be that our sin nature was, past tense, crucified on the cross. Number two, that we are trained and explained to know how to guard our gates, our senses, so that we don't get entrapped into deception.
Okay.
Now, those are my two hobby horses for today.
Okay. So, to sum it up, the crown of righteousness is obtained by continuing in our first love, understanding the cross,
knowing that you are called for your calling, and then letting the Holy Spirit develop that in our lives. We have a progressive sanctification that will go on until we breathe our last breath. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to do his job so that we can do ours?
Okay. Well, Janie, do you want to close us in prayer?
I would never refuse that privilege. Okay. All right. Father God, once again, we come to you with a heart of thanksgiving and praise for the work of the cross, for being set free from all of the bondages that had been ours because we were born with an old nature because of sin. Lord, the fact that you designed a solution for every issue that would draw us into perdition, into hell, that would rob us of our eternal calling and our being with you forever, you have solved and provided for us. And we know that that is called grace. So we praise you and we thank you. And Father, for anyone that is hearing our voices today that has a tugging at their heart, your faithfulness, draw them unto yourself, that they might enjoy all of the pleasures of life here, now, and for all of eternity, and not have to know defeat, but knowing that if disappointments happen, you have got it covered, and you've told us how to stand in your overcoming. We thank you and we praise you. And once again, it is in your Son's name, in his authority, and for all that that name represents. We praise you and we give you our praise and our request. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.